You're listening to a message preached at Front Range Baptist Church by Pastor Dean Miller. It is our prayer that this message will be a help and an encouragement to you in your spiritual walk. Now, here's Pastor Miller.
We gather tonight to eat and remember and to drink and to remember what the Lord has done for us. What a blessing it is to be saved and to be part of the church. And we're going to look at that tonight. And thank you for being here on Sunday evening. And it kind of feels a little odd, doesn't it? It's been a while since we've gathered like this in the evening. But I'm grateful that we get to come and to take the Lord's Supper together and then to fellowship. And I pray that you'll plan to stay a little bit and just fellowship with the church. We'll talk about that in just a moment. Let's bow for prayer tonight. Lord, we're so thankful for the opportunity that we have to meet as a church. Lord, the freedoms that we have, not only through the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, the ultimate freedom, but even as Americans, we yet are free to gather like this. And Lord, we're grateful for that. I thank you for the opportunity to gather at your table. Lord, I pray right now that each of us would begin to look into our own heart, that we would come worthily to this table. Lord, I pray that this would be a sweet time of fellowship tonight with the Lord Jesus and with one another. In his name we pray. Amen. You can be seated there and just take your Bibles and look for just a moment at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I hope everyone got their got the bread. We put the bread in individual cups. They're back on the table back here. If you didn't receive one yet, we'll get you back there in just a moment or get the deacons to bring you one. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But we wanted to make sure that we didn't want to use the styrofoam stuff anymore in the prepackaged. And so our hearts and hands, ladies, carefully put all these together in individual servings, and I'm so grateful for them. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul was dealing with a church that really was probably the most carnal of the churches in the New Testament. The church of Corinth had a lot of problems. They got saved, but they had a lot of problems. And if you know anything about Corinth as a city, it was a very wicked city. It was fully given over to sin. They were misusing idolatry, human pleasure. Basically, the Corinthians had a motto, and that was, if it feels good, do it. And the Corinthians became a byword. If somebody was acting in a certain way that was inappropriate or deemed immoral, people would say, he acts the Corinthian. It was a byword. And Paul labored in this city. If you know the story of the Apostle Paul, he labored in the city for a long stretch, laboring with these people, winning people to Christ and helping get them grounded. And then he hears report back from the church of Corinth that they are in serious trouble. The sin of the world has yet invaded the church, and the church is not taking sin seriously. It's not taking the cause of Christ seriously, and the church was losing its effectiveness in the world. And there was sin being so much tolerated in the church, and it's interesting, if you know what the book of 1 Corinthians is about, you'll be like I was. I'm amazed that when Paul gets into talking to them, you would think that Paul would jump right into all the fornication and all the gross immorality that was going on in the church. But Paul didn't. Paul jumped into the first thing back in the first few chapters of the book. He talked about the division that was in the church. He talked about some are of Apollos and some are of Peter and some are of Paul and some take the high road and say they're of Jesus and they really weren't followers of Christ, but they were saved, but they were super spiritual and without true spiritual power. And there were all kinds of divisions in the church, and Paul had to set all that in order. And Paul's addressing one thing after the other, after the other, after the other, after the other. And when he comes to chapter 10, he starts to get into the gathering of the church. Back with COVID, when it first started, I remember hearing a very popular and well-known megachurch pastor. And he basically offered a challenge through video. He said, you know, everybody says the church is commanded to gather. And he said, there's no command for the church to gather. And he said, you bring it on if you think that the church has to gather. And he made all kinds of challenges about this. And yet Paul disagrees, Jesus disagrees. The word church itself is the ecclesia. It's the called out, assembled together. And Paul talks about it all through the book of 1 Corinthians, especially chapter 11, when you come together, when you come together. Now, in our world, we've created traditions in America, in the American church, Baptist churches, the old adage, three to thrive, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But really, there was no set schedule in the church of when they gathered. There were times that the churches would gather together. But the church of Corinth, when they gathered, it was a major problem. Look with me for just a minute at 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better, but for the worse." Paul said, let me tell you something. Your gatherings are not for the good of the church. Your gatherings are doing more damage than they are good. It's fostering a false sense of spirituality. It's causing you to have a sectarianism idea in the church that some are better than others and some are more gifted than others. And your gatherings are very, very harmful. They were bringing food to eat, and the people were eating while others were hungry. And it was just the church was filled with problems. And Paul said, look, your gatherings are very harmful for the church. In fact, look at verse 18. He said, "For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it." And so, here's a church very divided. One of my fears as a pastor has been throughout the last 2 years that a church can be so easily divided. There's a million ways to divide a church. These people, if you look at verse number 18 again, he says, "I hear that there be divisions among you." This word division talks, it's the word schism. There were schisms in the body. Paul later used the word heresies. Now, we use the word heresy today to talk about somebody who's gone away from true doctrine. But Paul talked about the heresies, or the dividing of the church, and people were broken up into all sorts of different groups and different sects within the church. They were divided among economic lines, poor and rich and so forth. But in the reality of all of this, the church of Corinth had its divisions, but here's what I want to say to Front Range, and I want to make a charge to us. And that is, there's a million and one ways to divide the church, and Satan is a divider. And he'll get us divided politically. He'll get us divided over our liturgy, the way we worship. He'll get us divided over whether we have a choir or not have a choir. He'll get people divided over whether you put music up on the screens or not. I mean, I've seen churches divide a million different ways. Years ago, there was a church in Denver that split over a mural being painted in the nursery. And the mural had a picture of Adam and Eve, and the person that painted the mural gave Adam a belly button. And there's argument in the church as to whether Adam would have had a belly button or not, because Adam wasn't born. And so he didn't have an umbilical cord. And so did he have a belly button? Well, I think he would have looked kind of silly without one. So I think after the Lord made him, he just went boop and woke him up. You know, he could have done anything like that. But churches will divide along all sorts of lines. And the challenge that Paul lays out to this church, he says to this church, divisions in the church is a sign of carnality. As long as the church is not violating the scripture and the word of God and it's staying true to the message of the word of God and the doctrines that's been laid out to the word of God, some churches believe that you shouldn't have a piano in the church. Some believe that you can use any kind of instrument you want and everything in between. And the truth of the matter is, if we were to go through the church tonight, there'd be all sorts of opinions. If we talked about politics, there'd be all kinds of opinions. If we talked about masks, there'd be opinions. If we talked about shots, there'd be opinions. If we talked about whatever, there would be opinions. And Paul's warning to the church was this: it's human nature for divisiveness. But Jesus came to make us one, to take different people, people from different backgrounds, different things, and to make them one in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if there ought to be a place in the world where there is spiritual unity and harmony, and it ought to be in the local New Testament church. So Paul's answer to the divisiveness, and we live in a world that is so divided. It is so divided. This world is, you can't have a conversation with anyone. I have to go to the barber and just be quiet, because if you talk religion or politics or whatever, you've got a million different things today. And so the world is a divided world. It's a fighting world. It's an angry world. And it never should allow that spirit in the church. And I want to thank God that Front Range Baptist Church has stayed a unified church. We have been a unified church. God has blessed us. We have grown through the last year and a half. This church has seen people saved and baptized and discipled and growing. And today there's a young couple that recently trusted Christ and been coming, and they brought a friend with them. And just the stories are just brand new baby Christians around this church, and God is doing great things. And it's a testimony to our unity. And I want to challenge our church going forward in the days ahead. Let's remain unified. Paul's answer to the unity of the church was to bring them back to this table and say, I receive something from the Lord that brings the church around the table. And we come around this table, it's the Lord's table, it's a place of communion. In chapter 10 and verse 16, Paul called it the cup of blessing, which we bless. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. So Paul brings him to the table and he says, you see this cup right here? This is a cup of blessing. You see this bread right here? This is a bread that we bless. And this is a symbol and a picture that through his broken body, we became a united body. That through his shed blood, we became family. And we're gathering around the table as a family. And there's a unifier. There is a spirit of unity at the Lord's table. And so what Paul was saying was, I want you to make sure your heart is prepared as a church. That you understand why we're in this. And as we gather together, I want to say, going forward, I think there are some rough days ahead. There are rough days ahead as Americans. There are rough days ahead as Christians. I really believe that. Jesus told us that. I don't know why we're shocked. Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. It's not anything to fear. We shouldn't be upset and angry and fighting, especially fighting with each other. This is a time to unify as a church and to have our hearts fixed on the one banner, and that is the banner of the cross. That is the banner. And so tonight, I want to put your attitude and your heart on the right things. And this is what Paul tells us to do. When we gather at this table, there are some things that we need to do. First of all, we need to look back. Look at verse 23 of chapter 11. Paul said, for I have received of the Lord. Now, Paul reminded the church of Corinth that there is one Lord. There's a lot of divisions in this church, and there's people that you might be following, but there's one Lord. And there's one Master, and he said, I've received this of him, that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped, he said, this cup of the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. You see, this is where the church needs to remember that Jesus, we take a look back at the cross tonight, and we remember the price that he paid for us to have this. Let's not ever think that the United States government gave us this right. Nobody, this church is not the construct of some religious organization. It's not the construct of some man's mind to create this entity. This was the Lord Jesus Christ that gave himself for the church. He purchased the church. You young people, boys and girls are in this service. I wanted you to be in this service tonight. I wanted the children here because I want you to remember how important it is to have a church, that Jesus died and shed his blood for the church, that you could be here and have a place like this. When we come together, we look back at the Lord's death, his burial, and his resurrection. And this is not a funeral feast. This is not a funeral. This is a memorial, and it's a joyful time. We're not coming together at somebody's burial. We're rejoicing in his resurrection. This is the communion. Tonight, we're not fellowshipping without him. We're fellowshipping with him. This is his church, and he's in our midst, and we're gathered together, and we're looking back at his death, and we have a fellowship. Paul said in the book of Philippians, "Oh, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, being made conformable unto his death." Paul talked about the fellowship of his sufferings. That's what we're doing tonight. There is a unifier tonight, that we are members of his body purchased by the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to look back at that and remember what lengths God went to purchase us. The second place we ought to look is forward. In verse 26, he says, "For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." Till he come. This is a time we look forward. I look forward. Right now, I am meeting with the Lord in his spirit. But one of these days, we're going to sit at his table in the body. And we're going to look at those nail-pierced hands. We're going to see the eyes of our Lord Jesus. And he is going to serve us. And we're going to fellowship with him in person in that day. And this is the promise. The Bible said he would come and die, and he did. And the Bible said he would rise again, and he did. And the Bible says he's coming again, and he will. And this tonight is the feast that gets our eyes looking forward. You know, it's something around to look at the present time. The present time can look very turbulent, but there is coming a day that Jesus is coming, and this table keeps the church unified on our mission. We are not living for the here and now. We're living for that day. We're living for that day. And so we get our eyes forward. Are you thinking about the coming of Christ? Are you ready to meet him? And then I want to say, thirdly, this table brings the church to a place to look in. To look in. Look at verse number 27. He said, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And here's what he's simply saying. He's saying, I want you to look within. This is a time where you need to examine your own heart. Are you coming to this table looking in? Now remember, none of us are worthy of the Lord's death. None of us are worthy. This is not what it means. It doesn't mean that only those who are worthy of Jesus' death can eat. It means those who have a worthy heart and a worthy attitude, looking at the Lord Jesus and saying, "Lord, I'm looking at my own sin. I'm looking at unconfessed sin in my life. My life has been unworthy of your death. Lord, I've been living beneath the privilege that I have in Christ. And so, God, I'm asking forgiveness tonight." Now, listen, that doesn't mean that we ought to say, "Well, I've not been right with my brother or right with the church or right with God, and so I'm not going to take it." No, this is a command. We have to take it. Jesus told us to take it, but he told us to face ourselves and examine our own heart, not to judge another, but to judge ourselves and say, "Lord, I'm coming tonight with a confession." And here's the truth tonight. If where you sit right now, if your heart's not right with the Lord, you can confess your sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive that sin and to cleanse you right now of all unrighteousness. Thank God for that. And so look within. This is a time we gather at this table and we say, "Lord, is the life that I'm living right now worthy of the death that you died? Am I living for Christ?" And then we look around. And this is where I want to just point our attention. Look at verse 33. "Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat," he's talking about the Lord's Supper, "tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home." This is not a place, we're not coming to this table as a feast. We're not coming here to get our appetite settled. That's not about our bellies. It's about our heart. He said, "If a man is hungry, eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest I will set in order when I come." He said, we are to discern the Lord's body. As we look tonight, in just a moment, at the broken bread, we're going to see the price that was paid. This was the body of the Lord Jesus that was broken for us. But the us is the Lord's body that was saved. Now listen, we need to discern the Lord's body. We need to remember his body broken so this body can be united. We now, as a church, are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are members one of another. We need to discern that. We don't just attend a church. We belong to a church. We're members one of another. We're to bear each other's burdens. We're to love one another. We're to care for one another. The body broken was the price that is paid. The church assembled is the prize that was won. Isn't that good? The body broken was the price that was paid, but the church assembled is the prize that was won. Look at us tonight, sinners, saved by grace, made one in the Lord Jesus Christ. So tonight, listen, this is a family meal. And I never want us to forget in the days going forward that we're a family. There was a young lady in a country that was closed and they could not gather lawfully for church. And she was on her way to meet secretly at a secret location with her church to receive the Lord's Supper. And she was stopped by a soldier. The soldier said, "Where are you going?" Well, she didn't want to lie, but she also didn't want to disclose what was going on. And she paused for a minute and she just said, "Lord, help me." And her answer was this. She said, "I'm going to meet with my family and discuss the death of my brother. Our brother died, and we're going to discuss our inheritance that he left us." And you know, that's exactly what we're doing tonight. We're gathering together as a family to discuss the death of our brother and the inheritance that he left us. And we're fellowshipping one with another and with Christ. And I want us to make sure that we keep that bond of unity as a church. Going forward in the days ahead, it's so important that we keep our hearts right with the Lord and with one another.